is really, really, really a very ambitious target, especially because of the issues of migration that the Western Cape is experiencing. So he's not only dealing with just local issues that, you know, of the number of people that are already in the province. He also has to forecast the number of people that are going to go into the province in the years to come. And that's something that is difficult because obviously the people, once people migrate into a province, they become part of the population. And that means that they are part of the unemployed in the province, depending on obviously. But obviously he also knows that many of those people who come there may not, maybe actually, you know, engaged in one of the other activities. So it is becoming, it is a very, very, very thing. But I guess it also has to, he's balancing it at the same time with the number of people, I mean, some of the opportunities he's outlined about employment.
But the Premier is confident and positive, saying that the numbers don't lie. The unemployment is probably the lowest in the Western Cape as opposed to any other province. And he's talking about new jobs need to be created, and that should be the primary focus. He's saying we want to focus on economic growth and creating jobs. If there are jobs, we will be able to put food on the table, can look after your family, it will lead to a reduction in crime, etc., etc. He believes that's the cornerstone of it all. Doesn't come perhaps as easy as that, isn't it?
It doesn't come as easy as that, and but it does work. If you have built the momentum, he's quite right about unemployment being the lowest in the province, in the sense that they have that been, there's been that reduction over a period of time. The Western Cape has had the opportunity, especially, as you say, in certain sectors. So agriculture in the Western Cape has been quite strong, especially, you know, in terms of, you know, as I said, agriculture. There's certainly a lot of opportunity that they've focused on in terms of tourism. And those two sectors are usually very good at employing people without skills. And those are the kinds of people, obviously, that are part of the big unemployment portfolio in South Africa. So it's important that, you know, they continue that. And then he said that. But also the construction sector has been particularly supported, obviously, because we are building roads in the Western Cape. There's a lot of property development that has happened. And that has also, you know, employed a lot of the poorer or the less skilled population. So that also comes into the picture. The big houses that are being built, the flats, the, you know, the urban regeneration, a lot of that work that's being done is also helping a lot to absorb that. So that has been something that has been very useful for the Western Cape and the investment. Also in terms of making sure that the municipalities, even though in some poor areas, you know, you don't get as successful municipalities as you do in the more affluent places, but you certainly do see that has also been very good because then it supports local economic activity if the municipality can support water and electricity. So those kinds of things, I think, are the things that have supported the Western Cape if you compare to the others.
The Western Cape, predominantly the Cape Flats, Cape Town, continues to be plagued by gangsterism and crime. It's a big problem. There is obviously this major talk around a wall being built on the end too. So I've seen that the opposition in the Western Cape, the ANC under the Honourable Muhammad Khalid Said, referencing that there has to still be accountability because corruption does exist here. And how does the province then plan on tackling this serious issue of crime, because it continues to hold many of our disadvantaged communities? It holds them ransom.
That's very is an important question. And I'm not sure that there's been a lot of work that's been done in terms of just maybe the socioeconomic studies that can help to really map out what the problem has been over the time that the gangsters have taken such strong root. It depends on that time. I mean, I grew up in the Western Cape and I understand the sort of, you know, from the days of PAGAD, which is the People Against Gangsterism and Drugs, to what that population has been. But obviously, poorer communities tend to be, you know, very much, taken over by substances and crime. But what is important is to figure out how you can actually use, I guess, the power of that same economy to try and drive down and, you know, bring young people into the right kind of social engagements and the right kind of jobs, education, sports, you know, and all of those related activities. But first, you must deal with that problem. And it seems that it's one key one. And unfortunately, I'm not a criminologist, so I can't help you there. But it's certainly something that is really, really, really about why is crime actually continuing in the manner that is happening, and how does one actually figure out to do better in that? And the criminologists are not, I mean, there isn't a lot of work that I've seen that connects that maybe to the economic activity, and then see how you can drop it down. I don't know, I know you would have heard, like everybody else, that there is this drive to bring in the army into the Western.
Yes.
And to what extent that can help, because remember, they maybe the army can come in for maybe a month and it drives down the gangsterism, but they will have to leave. And then what happens after they leave? Does that actually then come back? And I don't know the answer to that question, but certainly the economy and inequality in particular is a key feature of crime and use of substances, and certainly other gangsterism that comes with that.
Indeed.
But an organized crime, yeah.
Indeed. In fact, we're having this debate on the WhatsApp line with listeners in respect of the army being deployed to the Western Cape, and predominantly our Cape Flats struggling with gangsterism and crime, holding our communities ransom. Many have argued, yes, we need it, but it's a short-term solution. We need something long-lasting. So let's be positive. Perhaps in the closing minute, 30 seconds, the positives from the side of our region, the Western Cape, from an economic growth perspective, from a job creation perspective, it remains, our province also remains the hub for tourism, which is a major driver of jobs. So do you think we can look at all of these positives and say, you know what, we can knuckle down, perhaps not be as ambitious as Premier Windy saying cutting unemployment down to half, but at least perhaps half of that half, is that perhaps achievable?
That's probably the main thing, as I said earlier, especially if the focus is continued on agriculture, on certainly on tourism and on construction. Those are the sectors which actually are able to drive down unemployment, especially from those people who are less skilled, because those can actually absorb a lot of the less skilled people. And then we are able to then to say, look, because we've been driving those, we are actually focusing on those sectors, you are actually going to be able to, as I said, you know, be able to bring it down. As you say, 10% at this point does look a little bit more optimistic, but you can definitely do half of the half if you continuously do that. And then provide the services for small businesses. Remember, small businesses are really, really important. So if you are providing in townships the right kinds of services in municipalities for people to be able to start small businesses, then we are doing well.
Kanti Pai, economist, thanks so much for your time. You are optimistic, at least. Perhaps not cutting it in half, but you are optimistic. Thanks so much.